Number one this evening, Genesis chapter number one, be looking at verses 20 down through verse number 23, be looking at the fifth day of creation. And I know that I've said this often, but I think it's worth hammering the point that as we study the week of creation, we have the opportunity to see the power and wisdom of God. And His power that is demonstrated for us through the week of creation, and His wisdom on how He did what He did. And it's amazing as we look at the account that is given to us in the book of Genesis concerning the week of creation. And of course, we understand it's not a very detailed as far as all that God could tell us. God did it all, so He could have told us every minute detail if He wanted to. But we didn't need to know all of that. The theme of the Bible is redemption. He is the creator and He is the sustainer, but He is the redeemer. And throughout the Word of God, we see much more scripture given to the subject of redemption than there to creation. But it is important that we understand that the truth of creation is a truth that is found throughout the entirety of the Word of God. It is not isolated to these first few chapters of the book of Genesis. He is perfect in every way, and He does all things well. Amen? That's our God. He's a perfect God. He's perfect in every way, and He does all things well. As we have studied creation up to this point, we find that God's creation is now ready for life. He made the sky. He made the seas. Of course, we look at the firmament and what have you there in verse number 8 on the second day. We looked at the gathering of the waters, and He called them seas. The gathering of the land, He called dry land. The dry land appeared. He called it land. And we find that on day number 3. And we've witnessed these things on day number 4, the sun, the moon, and the stars. And so God has created all of these things, and we find that He now is in a place where He has life is going to be created here on day number 5 and also on day number 6. It's once again that now everything is prepared, the creation is ready for this life. And we've mentioned many times how that through the wisdom and power of God, He has demonstrated for us how that through each aspect and all of the intricacies of creation were aligned just so to allow for life to exist. And then as we come to our text of Scripture, we find in verse number 20, "And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven." Verse 21, "And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good." Verse 22, "And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day." I'm reminded of what the psalmist says, and you can turn there if you'd like, hold your place in Genesis. But in Psalm 104, in verses 24 and 25, we find the psalmist mentioning this truth of creation once again, and speaking even about those things that we'll study this evening as far as day 5 of creation is concerned. And here in Psalm 104, and verse number 24, he says, "O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches." Verse 25, "So is this great and wide sea, wherein are things creeping innumerable, both small and great beasts." As we see on day number 5 of creation, we will note that it's here in verse number 20, God said, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature." Notice this phrase, "that hath life." So the first reference that you find in the Word of God with regard to the word life and having life. You'll note that it's here on day 5 and of course on day 6 as well. We'll notice that as we continue moving forward. But it's in Leviticus 17, verses 11 through 14, and we're not going to take the time to read those verses, but you can jot that down, where the Bible tells us there that the life of the flesh is in the blood. And we begin to see how God is going to tie some of those things together, and seeing here the creation of day number five, and speaking of the creatures that hath life. As we look at these particular this particular day of creation, we find that it was a very busy day of creation. And we look at that from man's perspective. Of course, last time we looked, and it wasn't last week, it was 2 weeks ago, at the sun, moon, and stars, we stood in awe of the fact that the end of verse number 16 simply said, "He made the stars also." And there are billions and billions of stars, and it simply says, "He made the stars also." It's an innumerable host, only to us. God knows the exact numbers, but He also knows their names. He calls them all by their name. We find here that in the text of Scripture on day number five, the first thing that God created was sea life. Notice with me as we look at the words that are given to us concerning the sea life that God created. It tells us in verse number 20, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life." We'll get back to the fowl in just a moment. In verse 21, it says, "And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth," what's it say? "Abundantly." And God blessed them, according to verse number 22, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas." And we find here so many references regarding the abundance of sea life. Now, that's some reason that people don't like going into the ocean. Some people don't like going to the ocean. Holly has no interest whatsoever because there's way too many living things in the ocean. And it's true. The evidence would tell us, science would tell us, that there are approximately 30,000 different species of land animals. Now, 30,000, that's a lot, different species of land animals, but when you compare that to water-based living things, that number is 200,000 different species. I mean, it's amazing. And we find here that God makes this truth known to us as to how on day number five, He said, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly," but it tells us in verse number 21 that God created great whales, every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly. Once again, we note that the Bible says, "after their kind," in verse number 21. Now, we made reference to this back several weeks ago as we looked there at day number 3 in verse number 11 and 12, when the Bible says, "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind." And it says, "whose seed is in itself upon the earth," and it was so. And we note it then in our study on day number 3, this importance of kind, and we find that God once again is bringing that to our attention and mentioning that here on day number 5 of creation. There is here through the creation, there's certainly a number of sea creatures that are created, but they're created after their kind. It's important for us to understand that, and it goes against what evolution would tell us because, of course, evolution would say that you can go from one kind to another and so on and so forth and all of these changes, but as we look here at what God's Word tells us, there is no ability to reproduce except for after His kind. And it's important that we continue to prove that point and see how God has echoed those words. It's interesting as you think about sea life, and there's certainly a number of different subjects that we could speak of that are unique to sea creatures, and we could deal with several of those things this evening, but I chose to bring you some things that Henry Morris III mentioned, and one of them in particular is gills. And he talked about gills. I thought it was fascinating as I was studying and preparing for this. And he talked about the gills, and he says this, talk about different. "The capture of necessary oxygen underwater is a very different process from that of birds or land animals." Do you agree? Have you ever tried to breathe underwater? It doesn't work out so well, right? and you can hold your breath for a certain period of time. You might go scuba diving and have a tank, but if you're down there and you're to breathe on your own, you're in trouble. It just doesn't work, right? God didn't create us that way as human beings. God didn't create birds to breathe under the water. But when he deals with fish, and it's not all, not all sea creatures have gills, obviously, but he talks about this, fish and many invertebrate like clams. He used the word, he in quotations, rake in oxygen from water flowing through their gills. When a fish or a clam opens its mouth, it sucks water and some other things into part of the system of filters that sift out those other things. And when it passes through the filters, the water is now purified and it passes over the gills. He says that they are amazing multifaceted devices, and there are bony pieces that hang in the middle of the mouth that support very thin filaments that are called lamellae, and these rows of disc-like lamellae collect the oxygen, and there's capillaries within there that exchange the oxygen for carbon dioxide that allows the fish and the clams to breathe. The oxygen goes in the bloodstream, the carbon dioxide goes back into the water. Now, this is very specific and very unique. He says it's not only specific and unique, but it's absolutely necessary. And we'd understand that, right? I mean, you understand that we can't breathe underwater. And the thing that's interesting is that a fish isn't going to breathe outside of water, right? Because he's designed the gills, as God has created him, they require the buoyancy of water in order to function properly. Now, this is interesting. According to what science would tell us, water contains less than 5% of the oxygen that is available in the air. So there's a lot more oxygen available in the air than there is available in the waters. And it's interesting because the gills, therefore, have to work very efficiently. And they have discovered, they being scientists have discovered, that the gills are able to get about 85% of the available oxygen out of the water as it flows through and over these organs. Isn't that amazing? The amount of oxygen that's available in water versus the air that we breathe is greatly reduced, and yet they need that oxygen. And so God has created them in such a way that they can efficiently extract that oxygen so that they can survive. I mentioned already that gills require the buoyancy of water to function, and therefore, if we had gills and we were walking upon the earth, we'd be in trouble. And if you take a fish out of water for too long, what happens? Becomes dinner, right? I mean, it's not going to live. And so we understand that. The thing that's interesting, though, is that many water creatures don't have gills. So we think about that and we say, man, that's phenomenal, right? But there's a number of sea creatures, and God here, we think about sea life that was created on day number five, not all have gills. Starfish, they don't have gills. You know how they breathe? According to what they tell us and all the study that they've done, they breathe through their feet through very small breathing tubes that are distributed there. It's interesting. Marine worms, he puts in parentheses, there are lots of them. That helps you, right? You want to go into the ocean, you know? But these marine worms, they don't have gills. They don't have breathing tubes. They breathe through their skin. And we could go on and on. I could give you, of course, we think about air-breathing aquatic mammals like whales and dolphins and seals and so on and so forth, how they have specialized nostrils, lungs, muscles in order to help them function best in the water. And he sums it up by saying this, it's hard to imagine how any of these creatures could have just happened. But you think about evolution, right? That's what they want to try to teach. All of this process that's so detailed and so sophisticated. Listen, a design gives evidence of a designer, right? Creation points back to the Creator, to God. And when you see all of these intricacies and you see all of these details and you stand in awe and you say, how could that be? And you say, well, God did it. Remember, His wisdom and His power is on display. It's amazing. And we see here that the Bible tells us not only did God create, He told them after their kind. We read that already in verse number 21. But notice this, it's interesting. In verse number 22, again, it's another one of those references that we first see here in the Genesis account where the Bible says this, "And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas." And then he says, "And let the fowl multiply in the earth." We'll deal with the fowl in just a moment. And so we see that here in verse number 22, once again, even as we mentioned about the ability for the plants that he created on day number three, dealing there in verses 11 and 12, and we dealt with that, how that they would have the sustainability. And we see here on day number five, as God would tell his creation to be fruitful and multiply and to fill the waters and the seas. God created with the functionality and the ability to reproduce and therefore sustainability. And that's God, and that's how God works, and that's what God's design is. We see not only the sea life, but we see also on day number five that God created the fowl. And he tells us in verse number 20, at the end of the verse, "And fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven." And, you know, there's a lot of people, it's kind of interesting, birds are an interesting creation of God. There are many people that would say that they're bird watchers, and they go on these, expeditions, if you will, for the purpose of observing the behavior of these birds. I mean, you can see birds that just are majestic as they fly, and you see, and I mean, it's amazing, isn't it? And you see these things, and I think about birds, and I think about how God created them here on day number five, and he says that he created the fowl that they may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. In verse number 21, we read the first part of the verse dealing with the sea life. Notice that it says at the end of the verse, "And every winged fowl after his kind." Once again, we see God making reference to this truth. And God created within the kind, and there's we mentioned this several weeks ago, the adaptability within the DNA code for some adaptations, if you will, within the kind, but there's no ability for one kind to reproduce with a different kind. It's just not possible. That's not how God created. It is not within the DNA code. There is the ability for adaptations within a kind when it comes to reproduction. And you see that with some of these birds. It's amazing. We study some birds, and again, none of these studies are, I mean, we could study birds for a year. I mean, we could just deal with it and just deal with all kinds of things, and we're not going to do that. But it's amazing. We see some of these birds, and you see how some of them fly. You look at some of the very peculiar traits of some birds, how fast their heart beats in order that they don't freeze to death in the winter and keep the circulatory system going and so on and so forth. You can look, how many of you ever had a woodpecker? There's woodpeckers here in our woods. And I get here some mornings and I open my car and I get out and I'm thinking, man, that is annoying. I mean, it drive you insane. I go down to the basement and I can't hear it anymore, so I'm thankful. But it's amazing how God has created all of these little, I mean, there are other types of birds that if they tried to do what a woodpecker did, they'd kill themselves. That's not how they were designed to operate. And so you think about some of these things and how God has designed them. He says again, after his kind, he says to, in verse number 22, we noticed already about the sea life that he said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas and let fowl, at the end there, verse number 22, multiply in the earth. It's interesting as you think about the fowl. And again, I'm going to just read something to you from Henry Morris III, because he talks about the marvel of feathers. The marvel of feathers. And Wikipedia, if you look up feathers on Wikipedia, some of what it would tell you there, they would suggest, as you would read all of their literature there, that feathers are a quote-unquote complex evolutionary novelty. In other words, there's no legitimate evolutionary story that can account for feathers. That's okay. God created birds to fly, right? He said there in verse number 20. Now, there are some birds that don't fly. We understand that. But it says here, and fowl that they may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. Feathers are not simple parts of flying creatures. They vary in type and use from the soft inner down to the varied wing, tail, and head crest. Feathers have shafts and vanes and barrels. They have colored pigments as well as various types of built-in prism designs that refract light. The colors vary all over the spectrum. You've seen some birds that are just amazing, vibrant colors. When we were down in South Carolina a couple of months ago, it was a blue jay? I can't remember what it was. I didn't see it. Donna Stroop, she saw this bird outside the window, and she's like, hurry, I need my camera, and she runs over there to be able to take pictures of this thing, because, I mean, it was just vibrant in color, and it's amazing when you think of some of these things. It says here, Brother Henry Morris continues and says, the colors vary all over the spectrum from plain black and white to the spectacular radiance that brings an involuntary gasp of breath at its stunning beauty. How many of you ever, you've experienced that? You see a bird that's just so beautiful, and the feathers and the colors and the vibrancy, and you see this is the creative God, the creator of the universe. There are flightless birds with feathers. Penguins, of course, don't fly. Ostriches, they don't fly either, but they're still birds. No evolutionist has a clue how feathers could have begun to develop. Indeed, there have been countless papers written on how such a thing might have come about, but none with observable data, excuse me. And here's some of the words that they use in order to try to explain the process. And they explain this process using words like they emerged, they appeared, they derived, they modified, and they manufactured themselves, and they were lucky. I mean, it's just so much better to read the Bible and see that the Bible says on day five that God said, and let the fowl, that they may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And he gave them feathers so they could fly. Amen? Feathers are marvelously designed components for birds. There is no evidence that they evolved from anything else. By the way, nothing in the fossil record would give any indication of any type of evolutionary process of something that was evolving into feathers. There's nothing whatsoever in the fossil record. So often, evolutionists like to talk about the fossil record. It's kind of interesting, and the study this evening is not specifically on the fossil record, but it's kind of interesting if you think about the fossil record, there's no evidence in any of the fossil record of any evolution whatsoever. However, there is evidence of a number of created creatures that have gone extinct. That's kind of interesting because it really kind of proves the opposite, right? They're saying these things are evolving and getting better, but in the fossil record, we have records of things that have gone extinct. And if you look at the fossil records, and the fossil records, I mean, there are amazing amounts, volumes of fossils that can be found in the fossil records all over the world. Of course, we believe Genesis 6 through 8, dealing with the Genesis flood and that being the cause of most of that fossil buildup, that you would understand that most of those fossils would give evidence to exactly what the Bible teaches concerning creation. There's no evidence whatsoever of these things of evolution. Feathers came into existence at the same time as birds. Day five. God made birds with feathers. Amen? And we look here at the two categories of life that is created on day number five. The sea life and the fowl. And we see that God gave them a purpose. He gave them a place. There was a place for them to live, and he equipped them to live in that place. And we find that he, in his wisdom, knowing all of those things because he is the creator of everything, that he designed them and created them in that manner. It's interesting, at the end of verse number 21, you notice these words, God saw that it was good. God saw that it was good. As we have noted earlier in our introduction, that our God is perfect in every way and he does all things well. And so when he looks at the creation on day number five and he creates these two forms of life, the sea life and the fowl, and he gives them their place and their purpose, and we find that the creation of God on day number five points to the Creator, that God says of his work, God saw that it was good. I was fascinated a couple of years ago when the Caldwell family was with us. They were here, of course, last year during Vacation Bible School, but the time before when they were with us, they were here and they had some birds of prey with them. And they were here on the platform, and they had, I think, an owl and another hawk of some sort. And as they were dealing with various things, it was interesting to listen to Brother Jason and Brother Howard talk about these birds of prey and so many of the unique characteristics of these birds and how they point to a creator. And they really do. And we look at day number five. Listen, the all of creation, remember, we read already in Psalm 104, and we read in verses 24 and 25 how that the psalmist was making this declaration, O Lord, how manifold are thy works. In wisdom thou hast made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. So is this great and wide sea, wherein are things creeping, innumerable, both small and great beast. And of course, we find here on day five, not only the sea life, but the fowl. And I was fascinated as I listened to the presentation that was made on that day by the Caldwell family, and just seeing the digging into all of those things that they've dug into by being and working in that ministry of birds of prey. And it's amazing how the creation always points back to a creator. The Bible concludes after we see in verse 21 that God saw that it was good. God blessed them. We've noticed already in verse 22 the sustainability of God's creation, saying, be fruitful and multiply, fill the waters and the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. Verse 23, in the evening and the morning were the fifth day. It's amazing that in just a few verses of Scripture, God tells us that here's what He did. And He did an amazing work on day number five. And as we could, and again, there's so many other things that we could get in detail. We could study marine life, and we could study fowls, and we could study it for weeks and weeks and weeks and months and months and months. There are fields of study that you can go and get degrees in college that are specific to these particular, to marine life. I mean, you could do that. And so the purpose of our study is not to exhaust all of those specific items, but just to see how that God in His wisdom and in His power has created these things. And it all points back to Him. We serve a wonderful God. I'm excited about day number six, because on day number six, after the land animals, we'll see that, but God creates man. And you think about the creation of man. And next week, as we study day number six and begin to deal with that and how God says, let us make man in our own image. What a blessing. And we think about all of the creation. This evening, day number five concludes there in verse number 23, as God says to us there, in the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Let's pray together. Father,